Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the company update call for the full year FY 2022-23 of Star Housing Finance Limited. Today on the call we have Mr. Anup Saxena, who heads the credit and operation functions, and Mr. Nitesh Narayanan, CFO of Star HFL, Mr. Kalpesh Dave, Chief Strategy Officer at the company, and Mr. Ashish Jain, Managing Director of Star HFL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kalpesh Dave. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Darwin, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, sir.
Thank you so much. A very good day to all of you, and warm welcome to the FY 2022-23 earnings call of Star Housing Finance Limited. My name is Kalpesh Dave, and I head corporate planning and strategy at Star HFL. First of all, I wish all our participants and stakeholders a very happy Akshaya Tritiya and Eid Mubarak. It's a pleasure to present to you the full year earnings update, a year that has been special in many aspects, particularly that it has set tone for growth as the Star HFL team steps ahead in its journey. On the call, we have our CFO, Mr. Nitesh Narayanan. We have Mr. Anup Saxena, who heads credit and operations, and MD, Mr. Ashish Jain. We would be sharing updates and also would be interacting with the participants. We shall be sharing business and financial highlights of the year gone by for your perusal and shall be happy to take questions and interact with participants post sharing these updates. Before sharing this update, let me introduce Star Housing Finance to you. We are a rural-focused home finance company, and we are operational in semi-urban and rural geographies. Star HFL operates with an objective to enable homeownership amongst the first-time and new-to-credit home buyers from economically weaker section and low-income group segment. Star HFL has been operational since 2009 and has transitioned to a professionally managed company since October 2019. Since then, we have focused our operations in retail space in affordable housing segment. More than 98% of the overall AUM as of date comprises of 2,500+ retail customers with an average loan size of around 10-11 lakhs in the semi-urban geography, and in rural geographies it is 6-8 lakhs. Star HFL caters to this segment through customized home loan products offered to them under the nomenclatures Star Grameen Grih Loan, and these products are devised and designed akin to the financing requirements of the semi-urban and rural borrowers. We have strong focus on digitization, which acts as an enabler to engage and serve the customer throughout the loan life cycle. We are listed on the main board of the Bombay Stock Exchange since July 2017, and we have registered and corporate office in Mumbai. Dear participants, FY 2022-23 has been a 100%+ year-on-year growth for Star HFL. We have taken great strides in building quality AUM through the year, and this growth, this scale-up has been ably supported by the liability machinery and capital raise under the leadership of Mr. Nitesh Narayanan. Geographical expansion and domain-based team buildup has enabled us to achieve the business targets that we had set at the beginning of the previous financial year. So I am summarizing the updates for you now. So for FY22-23, these are the updates. The gross loan book stands at rupees 250 crores plus, which is 140% plus year-on-year growth over FY 2021-2022. This scale-up comes on the back of record disbursements across the branches, across the regions during the financial year. Courtesy best-in-class underwriting processes and the risk management framework, the book continues to get built backed by quality. Focused in-house receivable management team onboarded locally, bringing strong customer connect throughout the engagement cycle has resulted in portfolio at risk. And when I'm speaking about portfolio at risk, I'm talking about 0 plus DPD. It has come down from 27% as of March 31st, 2022 to now 5% as of March 31st, 2023. This is a substantial improvement that has happened in FY 2022-23, courtesy the focused approach of the overall receivable management team and robust review mechanism that we have put up at the head office. Incremental book generated since October 2019 is 98% plus retail and has portfolio at risk. Now again, when I'm talking about PAR, it is 0 plus DPD. So 0 plus DPD of this incremental book generated stands at 0.68% and has 0 NPA. As of March 31st, 2023, GNPA stands at 1.68% and NNPA stands at 1.25%. The loan book is spread across the geographies of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan and Tamil Nadu. So over here, Maharashtra leads with 62%, followed by Rajasthan at 18 to 20%, Madhya Pradesh is at 10 to 12%, and Gujarat at 6% and Tamil Nadu at 5%. Now again, within Maharashtra, when we speak about Maharashtra too, the book is evenly spread across the three identified regions of our operations, which is extended Mumbai region, extended Pune region and the Vidarbha region. So that's how the segregation has happened even within the Maharashtra. So within the state also, the book is fairly diversified. Star HFL has doubled its presence during the year and now has 14 physical branches. The overall network consists of presence at 30 plus locations, which includes digital points of presence as well across our operational geography. Staff count stands at 150 employees, and out of these 150 employees, 40% of the staff consists of credit underwriters, processing team in operations and receivable management staff spread across branches and at the head office. Star HFL had two successful rounds of capital raise in FY 2022-23, courtesy which the net worth as of 31st March 2023 has crossed 100 crores. And this is a significant milestone that we have achieved during the financial year. So these rounds saw participation from reputed professionals within the capital market and BFSI space. And the shareholding profile accordingly has been augmented with individual investors, institutional entities, family office and an FPI. Star HFL now has an ecosystem of more than 6,500 shareholders, which is an increase from 530 odd shareholders back in 2019. Star HFL has now qualified the quantum criteria and now awaits to qualify the tenor criteria, post which it shall become eligible to list and trade on the National Stock Exchange post receiving all necessary approvals and all compliances being met. Also during the financial year, we have affected bonus and split of the company shares, resulting in increasing number of shares outstanding and more shares in the hands of our shareholders. This corporate action is in line with our philosophy to reward our shareholders for the trust that they have reposed in us during our journey. Star HFL has a strong liability franchise with relationship with public sector banks, FIs, and the National Housing Bank. So in FY22-23, we also saw first term loan received from a social impact fund. So that activity has also started as an addition to the overall liability franchise. Through the year, Star HFL has developed robust pipeline and shall continue to expand the engagement with other institutions in banking space. Natesh will throw more light on that. FY22-23 saw exercise of first tranche of ESOP 1 scheme, ensuring participation of eligible employees now becoming owners of the company. And subject to all approvals and compliances in place, Star HFL looks forward to expand the ambit of employee ownership through further ESOP scheme through the growth journey post receiving all approvals and compliances. Star HFL is governed by strong and an independent board comprising of reputed professionals from BFSI and allied space. So the board comprises of Mr. AP Saxena, ex-GM of the National Housing Bank, Mr. Ajit Laxmanan, SED of LIC of India, Mr. Pradeep Kumar Das, SED of IDBI Bank, and Ms. Neelam Tate, who is a professional chartered accountant and qualified company secretary. So these are the updates, dear friends, I wish to share with you. Now I call upon Mr. Natesh Narayanan to speak on the financial performance for the year. Thank you, and over to you, Natesh.
Thank you, Kalpesh. Good evening, all of you. Thank you for taking your time, valuable time, and joining us here. It's a pleasure to connect with you again and share the financial performance for the 12-month ending March 2023. This has been a record year for us at Star, and the same is reflected in the financial performance, the highlights of which I hereby share with you. The gross loan book stood at 251.39 crores as of March 31st, 2023, as against 104.94 crores in March 2022, a growth of 140% year-on-year. The total revenue for FY23 is at 37.24 crores as against 19.26 in FY22, again a near 100% year-on-year growth. The interest income and the net interest income in FY23 stood at 32.35 crores and 21.06 crores as against 17.97 and 11.8 crores respectively last year. Incremental lending happened at 15.5%, while the incremental borrowing cost stood at 10.5% per annum. GNPA as of March 23 is at 1.68% as against 2.99 in March 22. And the NNPA as of March 23 is at 1.25% as against 2.41 in March 2022. Investment in quality, manpower, to augment our growth plan and related expansion in operational geographies has resulted in employee expenses increasing by 28% year-on-year. Total operating expense has increased by 51%, primarily attributable to capacity creation for future AUM buildup and the scale-up that has happened in the FY23. For the last 12 months, period ending March 23, the PBT increased by 5 times year-on-year. Adjusting for the exceptional non-cash expense related to ESOP, PBT has increased by 220% year-on-year. For the 12-month period ending March 23, PAT increased by 10 times year-on-year. Adjusting for the exceptional non-cash expense, PAT has increased by 270% year-on-year. In FY23, the company has onboarded ICICI Bank, LIC Housing, Sundaram Housing, Cholamandalam Finance, Mass Rural Housing, and also a social impact fund in the form of Manvia Development as our new lenders. During the year, the company has raised fresh term loans from 11 banks and financial institutions with a current outstanding of 111.6 crores. The total outstanding borrowing as of 31st March 2023 is at 162.5 crores. The pre-tax ROE stands at 9.4% and the pre-tax ROA at 4.54%. Taking a note of the company's growth, quality of loan book, established processes and risk framework, and the management team, the overall corporate governance, CARE Ratings had upgraded our outlook of the company to positive from stable in the fourth quarter of FY23. I conclude with the following points. Net worth as of March 23 stands at 106.41 crores and the leverage at 1.53 times. The company is very well capitalized and shall, subject to all approvals in place, should look to strengthen the capital levels further to enable a 500 crore AUM scale up in the next 4 to 6 quarters, thereby becoming a systemically important housing finance company. The investment in infrastructure, manpower and technology has created a capacity for a monthly disbursement of 25 to 30 crores and which shall be used for scale up in FY24. Through the year, Star HFL has developed a robust funding pipeline and shall continue to expand the engagement with other institutions in banking space and in the capital market space to support the AUM growth envisaged in FY24. This, I hand over the call to our MD, Mr. Ashish Jain. Thank you, and over to you, Ashish.
Thank you, Natesh. Thank you, Kalpesh. Dear participants, warm welcome and best wishes from Star HFL leadership team. It is always a pleasure to address and interact with you. The object of arranging these earnings call regularly is to share updates on the company's progress. We are pleased to say Star HFL leadership team had resolved that from FY22-23 we shall grow, and this year has been 100% plus YoY growth registered across key business and financial parameters. In fact, the growth of gross loan book past rupees 250 crores given record disbursement last year is equivalent to the growth that had been achieved in the previous 12 years in the company's operational history. We are happy to have pared down PAR, that is 0 plus DPD, to now low single digits. Star HFL team is now 150 plus members strong, with all of them having requisite domain and vintage for their respective functions. The role and responsibility of each and every member is clearly defined as a part of their KPI, courtesy which FY22-23 was the first year of synchronized and record growth. We have expanded and shall continue to expand to new geographies in North and South in FY23-24 while digging deeper in existing states where we are present. We are happy to have raised capital regularly through our growth phase courtesy, with the net worth crossing rupees 100 crores bodes well from the perspective of capitalization levels, and as Natesh mentioned, we shall continue to strengthen these levels subject to all approvals to enable scale up becoming systematically important home finance company by end of 23-24. Our liability machinery, of course, has scaled up and is expected to build through further FY23-24, building reasonably acceptable leverage levels through the journey. We keep our ears and eyes open, listening to what the borrower needs, and we continue to incorporate those wishes in our product planning and rolling out rural-focused, customer-centric home loan products. I believe that Star HFL is a symbol of growth and reflects the tremendous opportunity that lies ahead in rural India residential mortgage space. Aspirations of rural India are changing as this segment across states and regions is now starting to get included in the financial mainstream. One feels the driver of rise in income levels, nuclearization and infrastructure development in rural India should see next wave of demand for housing in rural and associated semi-urban geographies. At policy level too, the focus of the government of India in rural housing is evident from the outlay of ₹54,487 crores under the PMAY Gramin Yojana for the current financial year, which is almost the double the outlay for urban version of the scheme as it targets to build incremental 8.3 million houses in rural India by March 24. These tailwinds should work not only for Star HFL, but even for our peers who wish to operate and grow in this space. The sheer size of the opportunity not only gives every player an even platform, but also to innovate and bring out products akin to requirements of home loan borrowers in these geographies. One feels that at policy level two, rural-focused HFCs should be supported as given their monoline and focused business model enabling credit access to these first-time homeowners. For Star HFL, we are happy to have walked the talk achieving the targets that we had set for ourselves in the beginning of FY22-23. This 100% year-on-year growth has been systematic, process-driven and backed by quality led by strong leadership team of Kalpesh, Natesh, Anoop, regional directors and location heads across our geographies. We look ahead from here on and would remain focused in affordable housing space, providing housing finance assistance to target EWS, LIG families in semi-urban and rural geographies of our operations as they aspire to purchase, construct their own home. Given the favorable drivers and the potential addressable market segment, Star HFL, through its domain reach team across the functions and geographies, is well poised to continue this growth momentum in FY23-24. I thank all our stakeholders, including our regulator, the RBI, the National Housing Bank, bankers, rating agencies, business associates, customers, employees, and of course, their families to have supported us in this journey. We look forward to create value for all our stakeholders. Thank you. Have a lovely day. Happy Akshay Tritiya. Happy Eid. Operator, over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ramjit Jaiswal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi there. It was great to hear about the company's growing strength and trend. So I have basically two simple questions. The first is, what is our current portfolio at risk? And second, how do you resource our business? Thank you.
So I guess the question is on the portfolio at risk. And second one, if I heard correctly, because you were a bit baffled, was what is, how do we source our business, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So Anoop, you want to answer this question, please?
Absolutely right. I would like to answer that question. So to answer question number one, which was related to portfolio at risk, so that was clearly mentioned by Kalpesh during this conversation, that our portfolio at risk, which is a 0 plus DPD, stands at sub 5% as of now. And as far as second question is concerned, how do we source our businesses? Our 90% business is sourcing through direct sales team, which is in-house sales team and deployed in our physical branches. These in-house sales team are supported by inbuilt LOS system, tap-based application. So they go door-to-door of the customers and source applications from there. So 90% business are coming from a direct sales team and 10% business are coming through referral business.
Yeah. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bipin Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good to hear about the growth of the company. So my question is, what effort are you taking on a digital front? As you see, the world is moving towards digitization of processes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Anup, again, you would want to answer the question on the deployment of lending suite that we are doing?
Sure. I would like to answer that, Vipin. So, as correctly mentioned, that world is moving towards digitization in a rapid manner. So, posting the same thing, earlier we were deploying systems through one of the old LMS suite. Now that has been, we are transiting that LMS suite to new technology software. We have already tied up with one of the renowned vendor based out of Bangalore. And the technology implementation is under process, wherein the one part of the technology has already been made live to the branches. So this is in-house built-in LMS application, which is obviously integrated by different APIs. With the help of these APIs, we are currently able to serve our customer within 4 to 5 working days time period. And I would be happy to announce that the most toughest thing into the lending business, which is title search, we are able to fetch title search within 15 minutes time period after putting records in place. So that is how we are working on digitization, and happy to share that perhaps by the end of May, we will be completely end-to-end digital. We will be based on completely end-to-end digital platform.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. That was fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kalpesh Parekh from JSN Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations to the management team for reporting a very, very strong set of numbers. I have few questions on the business model and probably, on the growth trajectory, what we should anticipate for the next few years. The last year was very good and I think we did a phenomenal job. But would it be fair to assume on a lower base that we can continue with such type of growth for next few years, particularly on the disbursement front, particularly on your, the EUM front and all that thing?
Sure. So I'll take that question, Kalpesh. See, obviously you have hit it very right that, the base of the company has been low, and on that, all the numbers that basically would come would be 100% plus. But you will understand and appreciate that, it is this journey of, 0 to 500 crores, which is the most difficult for any HFC to get transitioned from a small HFC to a, mid-sized HFC and become a, entity to reckon with across the stakeholding spectrum. So obviously, that small stride that, we had resolved that we will take, that we have already taken. And just to answer to your question, yes, FY23-24, we are resolving to become a systemically important home finance company by 31st of March 23-24, which means that, this one more year, if we are able to achieve it, I'm not giving any guidance over here, but if we are able to achieve it, that would be again 100% year-on-year growth on the back of FY22-23 numbers. What gives us confidence from the fact of the matter, as Ashish clearly mentioned, that there is tailwind which is associated. And more importantly, we have seen, on the ground how the rural India is kind of emerging, is getting connected with the, the urban counterparts through the infrastructure development that we are seeing across the region. So, as they get, embedded into the overall mainstream, their income levels, their activities will continue to get, increased. And with that, the drivers that Ashish had mentioned, nuclearization, the family getting split into two, homeowning aspiration increase, that thing, if you must be tracking this sector very closely. So the same wave resulted in creation of, multiple satellite cities across Mumbai, across Delhi and other places. And that gave birth of, top 4 to 5, players in the HFC space, namely HDFCs of the world. So I see similar kind of thing happening in the rural area, and more importantly, even the post-COVID scenario, that the reverse migration has resulted in demand for incremental housing over there. You know, people basically going back to the native, their abandoned, you know, villas requiring refurbishment or even a rundown and, you know, creation of a bigger one to accommodate a bigger family. And even within that, you know, someone wants a bigger house for that matter, they would basically look out for a bigger piece of unit. So those, you know, ground level changes are happening, and we are constantly hearing from our regional directors and our location heads that there is a demand. It is now up to us, up to Star Housing, how we can, you know, fulfill that particular demand, how we can organize ourselves well to cater to that demand. But I do feel that Star SFL as an entity is poised very well to register another 100% year-on-year growth. If you talk to me about a long-term plan from strategy perspective, I would say up to 26-27, we should have a CAGR of 50% plus, which should basically give us a loan book of around 2,000-2,500 odd crores. I'm not giving, again, not giving any guidance, but this is what the opportunity size is there. And what gives us confidence is that, you know, we have the trust asset domain. We have those our regional directors who have 20-25 years of experience in those local geographies. They are able to differentiate between whatever is well-ported and well-poised. So our underwriting processes are also are local in nature. It is in line with, you know, whatever is there on ground. So we do feel that, you know, we should be able to sustain this particular momentum. Obviously, a lot depends on macroeconomic environment, how the COVID pans out, how other things happen. But if you talk to me, you know, my calculation would be that, you know, the capacity is already created for one more year of 100% year-on-year growth. And we would take one step at a time to, you know, go past becoming a systemically important home finance company in 2024. Our current run rate, just, you know, to mention to you, is around 15 to 18 crores of monthly disbursements, which should go past around 25 to 30 crores on a steady state basis during this financial year.
Okay. So my second question will be on your spreads, basically. I understood it is somewhere around 4.5 to 5%, 15 and 10. So, okay. So going forward, are you facing any headwinds in the form of borrowing cost or anything? So now, since you have started moving more towards the other NBFCs and banks as such, so what is the scenario over there on the borrowing cost front?
Natesh, you want to answer on that, borrowing cost?
Yeah, I'll take that. See, on the spread front, we are enjoying about 500 to 525 basis point of spread. The average cost of borrowing around being around the 10.5 and lending at around 15 to 15.5. While the bulk of the increase in interest rate cycle has been seen in this financial year. However, if you see today the borrowing profile, we have about 30 to 35% coming from NHB, another 30 to 35% coming from PSU banks, and then the remaining rest 30% coming from the NBFC side, which is typically the financial institution side, with a small portion from the social impact fund. So if we maintain this color, given the broad interest rate scenario that involves, I think for this financial year, maintaining the spread will not be, while it will be challenging, but I don't think there will be a huge pressure as far as the spread is concerned. It will still be around the same number for, we foresee the same number to be maintained at least for the forthcoming financial year of FY24.
Okay.
And Kalpesh, just to add to what Natesh is saying, yeah, obviously there has been a margin contraction at the balance sheet level, given that, you know, there has been an increasing repo rate cycle.
Right.
Obviously, the lenders will pass on their cost hike to us, and our cost of borrowing on that particular account has increased, you know, from around 9.5, 9.25 to around 10.5, 10.25 for that matter. But we do feel that, you know, this margin contraction should be kind of more or less offset by the volumes that we are going to generate over FY23-24. And obviously, you know, we one view that internally within the strategy team also holds that, you know, repo cycle kind of will even, you know, at some point in time peak out in the foreseeable future. So that should bode well. But again, you know, we are not counting on the things that are not under our control. What we are focusing on is that the margin contraction should be offset by the scale of the business that we generate, and that's how we are looking at it. Just to answer to your questions that, you know, new lenders getting onboarded, obviously FIs are there. But, you know, there are other engagements with public sector banks. There are engagements with private sector banks, which are right now underway. And our pipeline in terms of liabilities is, you know, anywhere between 100 odd crores are right now in different stages of discussion with these banks and FI. So that should not be an issue. And as I said that, you know, during the call that, you know, we look forward to further capitalize also, subject to all approvals in place. So with that thing coming into onto the balance sheet, the overall borrowing cost per se, inclusive of entire money, you know, should be under control, and that should get translated into the PBT if we do our operations and manage our costs very well.
Okay. So going by this logic in your earlier remarks also, you had mentioned that we have got some good manpower and, you know, we have already added on the OPEX front as well. So it would be safe to presume that your the cost to income ratio probably in all possibility should decline from here on.
I would say on an incremental level, yes, but if you talk about an overall level, we still think that we should be building up capacity in FY 23-24 as well, and as we said that we are aiming to again double our capacity subject to our growth plans being approved. So one more year of increasing our capacity, and from there on, incremental volume that will be generated, these branches getting profitable, over a period of next 5 to 6 months, then the cost to income ratio rationalization would happen. As per our plan, we do feel that we should hit that sweet spot of 20% plus mark in around 10 to 12 quarters from here on.
Okay. So what would be, if I can ask a couple of questions more, what would be the ROE presumptions with which we are going for the next few years? Are we looking at something like 15-17% type of ROE? Is it sustainable, that type of ROE would be sustainable?
Yeah.
So
that's right. So again, to answer to your question, ROE, I would again see right now my pre-tax ROE is at around 9.4%. Just short of getting double digits. So that build up we have seen, Kalpesh, from 4%, 5% ROE to now, because that investment is now getting fructified. So answer to your question, my steady state ROE, as we are planning post getting all the growth capital and everything, I'm talking about company being in the next level of, at that point time we are obviously targeting of ROE in the range of 18-22%. But this is a long shot for us right now. At this point in time, we want to build book. We want to ensure that the return ratios should get associated with it only after the capacity is in place and the book gets starts kicking in the income for the entire financial year. If you ask me about the target for as per the business plan, 18-22% ROE should hit again somewhere in around 25-26, so on and so forth. So 3 years from now, again 10 to 12 quarters from now, I should see this ROE of 18-22%. Obviously a lot depend on how good we are leveraging on the initial on the capital that we are generating, that we are raising. Right now our leverage level is at around 1.5-1.6 times. We look forward to increase these leverage levels to 2.5-3 times and concomitantly bring in capital at the same time, so that again there is one set of increase in the leverage opportunity that we want to cash in. So yeah, just to answer to your question, 4.5% ROA and 3-3.5 times leverage should see us through that number. And from there on, the growth should be linear in nature, in line with whatever industry is doing.
Okay. So the fund requirement or money requirement will, like anything, we would be looking at it in next couple of years as such?
Yeah, that's right. So just to answer to your question, current year also, as per the plan, we need to further strengthen the capital. And this year, we are looking to engage with institutions for getting that institutional capital. At least, get the talk ready and engage with them. Because that's a process. You also know that, Kalpesh. It takes time. But yeah, we would look forward to raise capital, subject to, again, subject to all approvals and things. No guidance being given by me, but we are looking forward to strengthen the capital levels further.
Okay, fair enough, and wish you all the best to the team. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kalpesh. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Priya Jadhav from Devar Broker. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Operator, I just want to, I just want to, Priya, just a sec. I just want to announce to the participants that very happy to share that, you know, this earnings call is right now being attended by 125+, you know, participants across banking, rating, you know, capital market space. And more than happy to interact with the with this group that we are having, and look forward to have you in future calls as well. Yeah, Priya.
Yeah, hi. My question is that, what are your fundraising plans in
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am, but there seems to be an echo that is coming through on your line.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, we can hear you. You can ask the question.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. We can hear you. Yeah.
What is your guidance on business building in the next financial year?
Business building, as I said, Priya, you know, we are we are planning to achieve 500 crores AUM by 31st March 2024, which means that incrementally for the year we should be planning around 250 to 300 crores of disbursement.
Okay. Yeah, and second is that, what are your fundraising plan in the next financial year?
Natish, you want to answer that? Fundraising plan?
Fundraising plans in the next financial year.
Yeah, sure. Natish, you want to answer
hello, Priya, as Kalpesh rightly pointed out, if you are looking at a 100% growth of the AUM, that's our target for this year, that's our aim for this year. We are looking at, we'll be having a minimum disbursement of around 350 to 375 crores. After, even if we adjust for the capital raise that we are planning, which will be close to $500,000 to $1 million, I think we will raise about 300 crores of debt and about $500,000 to $1 million of equity.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Participants,
$5 million to $10 million of equity, but not $500,000. $5 million to $10 million of equity.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Anand Rajaram from Azalea Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Anand.
Yeah. I would like to congratulate the Star team for excellent set of numbers. Couple of questions from my side. You had mentioned the NIM currently is about 4.5 to 5%. How has the NIM moved in the last couple of years? That is point number one. Point number two is, since the company is going to double its AUM in the next 1 year, and since the company is also sourcing business from internal resources and the credit team is big, would mean that there will be a pressure on the cost to income ratio?
Yeah. So, Anand, just to answer to your question, the NIM, I'm talking about the spread, because, you know, for a company like us, wherein we have raised regular equity, NIM probably would not do justice to the numbers because it would be in double digits. But if you talk about the spread has always been, you know, our endeavor has to be maintaining the spread at 450 to 500 basis points. Now, you know, when I talk about the erstwhile avatar of the company, you know, even the incremental spread was at around, you know, at 10%, 11%, because it was in a different segment. We basically have rationalized our interest rate offering. So our incremental lending rate has come down to around 15-odd%, whereas borrowing rate has basically, you know, come down from 13-odd% previously. I'm talking about, you know, FY 18, 19, 20, to now at around, you know, 10.75%. So this is something which we are maintaining. Obviously, there has been a contraction previously, you know, before the increase in repo rate, we used to have a higher spread of around 550 odd basis points. That has now come down to 475 odd basis points. But as I said, that, you know, that margin contraction should get offset by the scale-up that we should do in FY23-24. And, you know, as we are focusing even on the equity and we are focusing on social impact fund, there also there is a, you know, regular, you know, credit line being given from the NHB. We do feel that the borrowing cost should remain steady at this particular level. It should not go beyond this. And we should be able to maintain this particular spread of 450 to 550. So I'm talking of giving you a broad range irrespective of repo rate increase decrease. 450 to 550 is something which we should maintain as a spread going ahead through a growth journey. I'm talking about over the next 8 to 10 operational quarters. So that is on that side of it. To answer to your questions on the plans that we want to execute in the next financial year, in terms of doubling our loan book. See, you have to understand that, you know, we have doubled our branches. So from 7 to 7, it is now 14. So now these 14 odd branches would be now operating in full throttle, full capacity with an average run rate of around 20 to 25 odd crores. Okay. You know, obviously that does not happen in Q1. It basically gradually builds up. But as we increase Q1 to Q2 to Q3 to Q4, The build-up should ensure that, you know, the current network should give us around more than 80% of whatever we are envisaging at this point in time. The increase in branches, again, you know, in 2024, as I said, that we wish to again double our presence, subject to all things in place. That will again put in our, you know, pressure on the cost-to-income ratio. Obviously, I agree on that part of it. But we do feel that from FY24-25 onwards, the cost to income ratio should start to get stabilized, and end of 25 should see us, you know, reaching up to that envisaged level of 20-25% of cost to income ratio as we envisage. And also wanted to share that, you know, Anup said that, you know, the current digital platform that we are deploying internally in our next strategy meet, when the team is meeting, we would be having serious discussion on ensuring that at least 10 to 15% of my incremental, lending should be hassle-free, should be without any assistance from, external connect as such. So that digital lending, if we are able to, you know, crack that we should be able to prepone that cost-to-income ratio, the target that you have set for ourselves.
Thank you, Kalpesh, and wishing the STAR team all the best for the growth plan for the next year.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Anand.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Mehta from Juniper Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, I would like to congratulate the entire STAR HFL team for reporting very strong numbers. And I have two questions from my side. Sir, what was the provision coverage ratio as of March 23? And how does the ALM stand as of March 23, given we have, borrowing from NBFCs as well, where the, you know, tenure might not be as long as what NHB offers.
Sure. Ashok, so I will answer on the PCR part of it, and I will ask Natish to answer on the ALM. See, on the provision coverage ratio, if you consider the provisions that we have made, the overall provision as mandated by the NHB, the PCR currently stands at around 48%. As we speak, as of March 31st, 2023. However, you know, couple of things want to mention on the PCR part of it is that, you know, we have done excess over and above provisions as mandated by the RBI and the NHB. Taking that, you know, excess provisions into account and including, you know, some of the write-offs which we have done on a cumulative basis, this PCR adjusting for all these things is in excess of 100%. So when I say that my GNPA is 3.82 crores, it is totally provided for on the balance sheet and in the P&L.
Okay, thank you.
And on the ALM side, Natish, you want to answer?
Yeah, so on the ALM side, while we've had this discipline, even if you're borrowing from a financial, irrespective of whom you're borrowing from, a financial institution or a bank, well, NHB is a different ballgame altogether, who they give us more than 10-year money or they're close to 10-year money. Even from the banks, we've managed to get money for more than 7 years. In terms of financial institutions, our average tenor, the average tenor that we have borrowed from most of the financial institutions is close to 5 years or more. Thus, our ALM is fairly robust. We have had no mismatches in any of our buckets, at least up to 5 years. All of them are positive, and on the balance sheet, still we are sitting on close to 29-30 crores of cash, covering up for two months of disbursement.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Bucha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Firstly, congratulations on great set of numbers, just like the name of the company. My question is, I'm not sure whether it's already been covered, but any view on the spectrum of the credit quality of the borrowers, and in terms of, if you could quantify it in terms of percentage of money lent to different credit quality of borrowers, please.
So to answer to that question, our occupation spread, we offer home loans to salaried as well as self-employed customers. Currently, incremental spread between salaried and self-employed is 35 to 65. So one-third of my borrowers are in salaried profile, two-third are from self-employed profile. In terms of their repayment behavior, as we mentioned that the portfolio at risk currently is at 5%, which is 0 plus DPD, and within that the new book that we are generating is at around 0.68%. So, the risk that emanates from a self-employed customer is I would say around 40 to 50 basis points more than what would be from a salaried customer, typical salaried customer, and that is what is getting encapsulated onto my portfolio at risk when I split it between salaried and self-employed. Obviously, the delinquency is part of it, the 3.82 crore that we are talking about. Again, out of, if you're talking about debt NPA, 80% of, the customers within that segment is self-employed customer, and 20% are salaried customers. So, obviously, as a profile and occupation type suggests also, that self-employed customers are more prone to, income fluctuation given the nature of their business. But as we say that, we are deploying very strong review mechanism, and whatever learnings that we are doing in the incremental lending that we are incorporating in our, credit policy. Because of which, the newer centers that are coming, Bhavik, and this is very interesting, the newer centers of, 7-odd locations that we have opened up, and the loans that we are doing over there, obviously very early times. Again, the book has to get seasoned, but that book, even in that, there are no early warning signals as such. There are the bounce ratios, which is basically the main indication, is equivalent for salaried and self-employed for these new branches. And, if I'm extrapolating on that, I should be able to control, those kind of delinquencies that emanate from a self-employed customer. But yeah, as I said, this is the breakup on the delinquency level of salaried and self-employed. And we are constantly monitoring, health of the portfolio within the occupation type, within the, ticket size types, within the region, so on and so forth. Just to answer your question.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kalpesh Dave for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dorman. So, participants, thank you so much for coming, for taking time out, on a Saturday, on a holiday, to attend to this call and hearing us. It is always a pleasure. Our endeavor is to be extremely transparent with you and share not only our hits but even our misses. We are a growing housing finance company. There is a long way ahead, and we intend to become a meaningful player in the affordable housing space within the geography that we operate in. We are not looking for, gaining market share, becoming a number one, number two. In that race, we are not there. We want to ensure the buildup of book is backed by quality, build up by solid processes and guidelines, and that is what we have been doing in FY 2023.
you know, there would be a lot of euphoria in 100% plus growth, even if the base is low. But, you know, our heads are firmly on our shoulders, and we look forward to continuing this growth momentum as we move on. So just encapsulating the overall business performance, the loan book is crossing, gross loan book is crossing 250 crores. Our AUM is in, you know, lower single digit, which is 5%. Our PAR is at lower single digit, which is 0 plus DPD is at 5%. Our GNPA is 1.65%. Our provision coverage ratio, inclusive of all the provisions and excess provisions that are there, is 100%, covering the entire, book, the GNPA that is being given. So that is there. Our build-up is diversified. We are present across the states of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan, and Tamil Nadu. We look forward to expand north and south as we move ahead in FY23-24. Our net worth has crossed 100 crores. We are now well poised to capitalize on qualifying the tenor criteria so that gets listed on the NSE subject to all approvals in place. I do feel that, you know, we are now one step away from that much needed upgrade that we are envisaging, and even some of you people have been asking us as to, you know, when is that due. So we do feel that, you know, 2023-24 Q1 or Q2, I would feel Q1 should be the quarter wherein we should get that much needed upgrade based on the merit that we are deserving, based on the business performance that we are showing. Liability under the leadership of Natesh is doing well. Capital raise and the debt that we have raised should be able to continue that particular momentum and support the AUM scale up as we grow. Top line, bottom line growth is 2x, adjusting for the non-cash items, adjusting for the ESOP expenses. We do feel, and now again I'm not giving any guidance, but we do feel that, you know, if we are able to, you know, register similar 100% year-on-year growth, the PAT, the bottom line should also increase in that particular way and fashion. All we need to do is we need to continue what we are doing and ensure that the book is built up backed by quality. So this is the encapsulation of the overall performance that we have done during the year. Once again, thank you all the stakeholders, and we look forward to engage with you as we grow from here on. If you have any queries, any suggestions, any thing to ask, even post call, please reach out to our investor relations. You can reach out to me or either Natesh, Anoop or Ashish individually, and we'll be more than happy to interact and answer any of the questions. So that's it from my side. Thank you so much. Once again, very happy Akshay Tritiya and Eid Mubarak to all of you. Thank you so much. Over to you, Robin. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Star Housing Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.